I ask you to take your Bibles and open them with me, please, the book of John, chapter 12. That's going to be our jumping off point. This morning we start a new series entitled The Truth About Christmas. We're going to be talking over the next 3 weeks about the meaning of Christmas, the next week the message of Christmas, and then finally the miracle of Christmas. In John chapter 12 and in verse 46, the scripture tells us, Jesus speaking, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. We live in a dark world today, don't we? Our world, as never before, needs the light. That is what we want to celebrate this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray for the anointing of your Spirit upon our time together. And I pray for you to have your will and your way with us. For you to say, Father, through us what you want to have said. And that we might bring glory and honor to your name. Father, I pray for those that are going through dark days, even right now. And I pray, Lord, that the message of your light will just reside in their hearts. And that they will hear what you have to say to them this morning. We praise you, Jesus. And I pray that you would stretch me beyond my own capacity, my own capability, to say what I am incapable of saying, to say it by your Spirit to the hearts of your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have to confess that one of my favorite things about Christmas is the lights. Absolutely love the lights. Church member who will remain unnamed, but they know who they are and we appreciate them, gave Janice and I a special gift for Christmas. We got to go up to Biltmore and go through at night and see the lights. And, I mean, it was like one of those awesome times, 55 Christmas trees, and just tour started at 9 o'clock, you know, and it's just, I mean, it's just neat, you know. The lights of Christmas. December the 21st, this coming Friday, is the winter solstice. And I think it's appropriate that it is the day of greatest darkness. And that in the midst of all of this, when we are in the darkest time of the year, Christmas pierces the darkness with its light. Light is an important part of the first Christmas in the Christmas story. It was the light of the star that guided the wise men to Jesus. The angels appeared to the shepherds, and the scripture says, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. God's light was evident from the very beginning of Christmas. In fact, you can't read the Bible without seeing light as a major thing, especially in John's writings. When you read through Revelation or 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John or the book of John that we read this morning, John chapter 12 and verse 46, you know, we're going to start a study on Wednesday nights. For those of you that don't have anything to do, we'd love to have you come join us. We're going to study the book of 1st John. And we're going to do a series entitled What's Real and What's Not. I don't know of anything in our world today that we need more than to have the light shed on what is real and what is not real. But in 1 John, John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 5, he said, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all in God. There is absolutely nothing but light for us. Jesus said it in John chapter 8 and in verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them and he said, I am the light of the world. One of those I am statements of Jesus where Jesus claims to be the Father. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When you serve and know the Jesus I know, you don't do that and live in darkness. You do that and experience the light of his presence. And that's why Jesus said that he came into the world as light, that whoever believes in him would not walk in the darkness. He's just not talking about physical darkness. He's talking about spiritual darkness. Folks, I'm just telling you, as I sit down, as I look at the headlines in our world today, as I look at what's going on in the world today, I just never imagined that our culture, our country, our nation could be as dark as it is today. And the fact that those who even try to shed the light are shunned and are treated in ways that just are unbelievable. But that doesn't change the fact that there is light in this world. And I want you to hear me. You know, we have a wonderful time celebrating Christmas. I mean, isn't this beautiful, the poinsettias and the music today? And it just reminds us so much of Christmas and what Christmas means. But you know, Christmas isn't pleasant for everyone. Some people go through dark days at Christmas. Some people celebrate pain. Maybe they've lost a loved one, or maybe they've gone through traumatic memories. Everyone has dark days. Days when you don't feel like getting out of bed, or you don't want to see anybody. You just want to throw in the towel. And for some, the holidays are especially tough and even lonely. But today I want us to see something. That even though we all go through dark times, that today we can see how the light of Christmas impacts your dark days. The meaning of Christmas is to bring light into a dark world. And the meaning of Christmas for you is to bring light into the midst of any dark situation that you may be facing. I want us to look today at the four most common types of darkness that people live through, and how Christmas is God's response to those dark days with the light of Jesus. The principle is Christmas is the light of God in response to your dark days. Christmas is the light of God in response to your dark days. First of all, I want you to see that Christmas is the light of God in response to your dark days of disappointment. Number one, the dark days of disappointment. You know, the Bible tells us in Job chapter 30 and verse 26, Job writes, "But when I hoped for good, evil came. And when I waited for light, darkness came." Everyone has been at some point in time in their lives through a time of disappointment. Job was struggling through the days of disappointment. And many times if you sit down and you just look at recent events and things that are going on around us, and you start to list those and make a catalog of them, before even realizing it, you can find yourself struggling with disappointment. Things don't always work out as you planned. They don't go the way you think they should. Situations don't resolve themselves the way you wish they would. It's kind of like, have you ever thought you knew what you were getting for Christmas, but it didn't quite materialize that way? Maybe even you're a little bit disappointed. It's kind of like the little boy who wanted a basketball for Christmas. And he walked in and he saw this round, what he absolutely knew was a basketball wrapped up and under the Christmas tree. And he was so excited, he was beside himself. And then come Christmas morning, he opened it and he looked at it, and it was a globe for educational purposes. And he looked at his mom and said, "Gee, thanks, Mom. It's what I always wanted." Well, you know, I can only imagine that first Christmas, Mary was probably a little bit disappointed. I mean, come on. She's given birth to the Savior, not at the Holiday Inn and not at the Hilton, but in a stinking stable. I mean, can you imagine? What disappointment. I mean, life can be disappointing at times. Some of you have been there. Some of you may even be there right now. Maybe there's some situation or some person that has disappointed you. And because of Christmas, you don't have to stay in the dark. Jesus came to light up your dark days of disappointment. Well, how does he do that? Well, here's your principle. If you're disappointed, the Lord will encourage you in two ways. If you're disappointed, the Lord's going to encourage you in two ways. First of all, he's going to encourage you by his personal contact. He's going to encourage you by his personal contact. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I want you to underline, circle, get to the point where you can get to it in your scripture and mark that word near. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He will not leave you. Listen, the very meaning of Christmas is Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? It means God near you. It means God with us. God will be with you no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you're going through. Some of you faced some pretty discouraging times this past year. You didn't get the promotion you hoped for. You didn't get to close the sale. You got hurt by somebody that was close to you. Maybe somebody that wounded you deeply. Maybe you were hurt through a relationship. Maybe your dreams and your hopes didn't materialize this past year. And you may even have found yourself wondering, well, where's God? Where is God in all of this? I'm going to tell you where he is. He's right there. He's never left you. He's not going to leave you. He's always been there because he is Emmanuel, God with us. And it's his light that shines the brightest in the dark times. But listen, if you want him near you when you're going through dark times, you need to ask him. Just ask him. And I promise you he'll be there for you. Here's your principle. Jesus wants to be near you in your dark days. Jesus wants to be near you in your dark days. If you're disappointed, the Lord's going to encourage you in two ways. First of all, by his personal contact with you, the Lord will be near you. And second of all, I want you to notice, B, that he'll do it by purposeful control. And what do I mean by that? I mean that God is not going to let you miss your purpose if you are absolutely intent on living close to him and on having him close to you. In fact, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see that word welfare? That is not government welfare. That is not what that means. You know what that word is in the original language? It is the word shalom. It's one of the biggest words in the Jewish culture. Do you know what that word shalom means? It means wholeness. It means wellness. It means peace. It means prosperity. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, if you'll let me, I will implement my plan for you to give you the prosperity, to give you the plan, to give you the wholeness that you need so that you can have future and a hope. I will bring light into the midst of your situation, if you'll allow me. God says, I don't want you to be hurt. I want to help you. I have a future for you, and I have a hope for you. I want you to live out the purpose that I have for you. God sometimes, and I can speak with authority on this, uses disappointments to get your attention. You had that experience? Everybody here ever had that experience? I have. In fact, I think I'm so hard-headed, sometimes God has to put me in disappointments to get my attention. But you know what? It's in the midst of those dark disappointments sometimes that the light of God shines the brightest, that he can show me his way, that he can show me what he wants in my life. He wants to say to you who have experienced disappointment recently, yes, you've been hurt, but my purpose for your life is far greater than the problem you're facing. Because whatever you're facing, whatever disappointment you're going through, there is a purpose behind it if you'll follow me. In fact, I want you to see the principle here. Jesus wants you to remember that his purpose for you is greater than the disappointment you're facing. Jesus wants you to remember that his purpose for you is greater than the disappointment you're facing. Christmas is the light of God in response to your dark days of disappointment. Number two, Christmas is the light of God in response to your dark days of distress. To your dark days of distress. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? I mean, have you ever felt like that you're stressed out and stretched to the limit? You've got so much to do, you don't have enough time, money, or energy to get it done. I mean, it's just overwhelming. I mean, ladies, you'll understand this better than anybody. Think about Mary. 9 months pregnant, riding on the back of a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, miles and miles and miles. Do you think maybe that was distressful? She understood distress. We've all been in situations where we're pushed to the absolute limit. David understood it. David expressed his distress. In Psalm 22 in verse 1, David had reached the end of his rope and just crying out from his gut, he screamed out and he said, "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest." By the way, those are the same words that Jesus quoted when he was going through his dark night of the soul on the cross, when he was at the pit of distress, having taken on the burden of all the sins that have ever been committed, crashing in upon him, and his entire world goes dark as the Son of God goes through his dark night of the soul, living with a distress that absolutely, completely saturated every fiber of his being. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt, just somebody, please help me? I've got so much distress. And you cry out and you cry out and you cry out and you feel like you're all by yourself. Maybe you're stressed out financially because you've got too much month left over at the end of the money. Or maybe you're stressed out relationally. Maybe you're dealing with a marriage that doesn't work, or a child that's living in rebellion, or a bad work situation. Maybe you're stressed out emotionally because you love somebody that doesn't love you, or maybe you've been deserted or attacked by a friend. Maybe you're stressed out physically. You can't get balance in your life. You stay up too late, you eat too much, and you don't exercise. And so your get up and go has gotten up and gone a long time ago. And you just don't feel good. And you don't feel like doing anything. Well, maybe you're stressed out spiritually. There seems to be a barrier between you and God, and you just can't play the game anymore. You're tired of doing the dance. Your expectations just aren't being met, and so you're stressed. I mean, it just seems so dark. Listen, Jesus came to light up your dark days of distress, but how? How is he going to do that? Look at this verse. I think one of the all-time greatest verses for me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "I can do some things in my own power when I feel like it." Or how about, "I can do some things through him who strengthens me." I can do all things. How much is all? Is anything left out of all? It's all, isn't it? All is all. When are we going to get it through our thick heads that all means everything? And notice he's not saying, "I can do all things when I feel like it," or whenever I can handle whatever distresses me by my own power. No way. Whatever I can get done in the darkest days comes by the light of Jesus. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. He's my hope. And even when I'm going through those dark days and I sense his presence in my life, I realize then that there's nothing that can devastate or distress me. Listen, 2019 has things ahead of us that we don't have any idea what's going to happen. Nationally, internationally, personally. But he will strengthen me when I'm distressed. You know what David learned? David learned to claim the strength of God in his dark days of distress. Remember in Psalm 22, he's crying out, "Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, I'm in the darkness here. I don't get it. I don't understand." Then in Psalm 23, he comes back. In Psalm 23 in verse 4, he says, "Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow," darkness. Shadows are darkness. "Even though I walk through the valley of the darkness, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David said, "I can walk through the darkest of times. I can walk through the darkest of situations. I can walk up to and through death's door, and I don't need to fear because my God is with me. He will be there with me. He will strengthen me because he is Emmanuel, God with us." And that's the meaning of Christmas. God with us. Don't let the secular culture steal the meaning of Christmas. Don't let them take away from us what it really means. It means God with us. It means that He is with us no matter what we experience or what we go through. That's the meaning of Christmas, God with us in life. And the dark, distressing days, even the darkest of days, the darkest of distress, death itself. I love the book of Psalms. The 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. I can give you the theme of the entire book of Psalms in one sentence. One sentence. Real easy. You ready? You don't act like it. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Theme of the book of Psalms. Life is tough, but God is good. Would you agree life's tough? Amen. God is good. All the time. That's right. And you see, as we look at that, as we see that, as we understand that, then we can go through the dark days. But let me tell you what happens with lots of folks. Let me tell you what their philosophy is. Life is good, but God is tough. I'm sorry, but that doesn't work for me. Because I need a God who's going to show grace because I'm hard-headed. I really am. Y'all like my new vest? It's classy, doesn't it? Thank you, ma'am. It's the Tom Selleck look. Y'all just let me live in my fantasy world, okay? Just leave me alone. I'm fine. I'm fine. You know how I got it, though? It's my Christmas present. I pulled up the other day and the day before yesterday and the mailman was trying to stuff this in the mailbox. And he was bending the mailbox trying to get it in there because there was some other stuff too. So I said, I'll just give it to me. So I took it to the house and opened it up. And there it was. And Janice comes walking and goes, that's your Christmas present. I said, well, thank you. Oh, you know what? God's in the business of surprising us. If we'll let Him, He'll bring those surprises into our lives that will allow us the opportunity of realizing that He's been there all along and that His light is shining in places that we didn't even imagine His light would shine. And all we've got to do is be willing to look for it. Doesn't mean there's going to be a vest there every time, but it does mean sometimes that God's going to do something to meet you where you need to be met, to give you what you need to be given, so that you can see His light in your dark days of distress. God is with us to strengthen us when we're distressed. Here's your principle. Jesus is God with you. Emmanuel, God with you to strengthen you when you're distressed. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with you to strengthen you when you're distressed. Christmas is the light of God in response to your dark days of disappointment. To your dark days of distress. And number three, to your dark days of doubt. To your dark days of doubt. In John chapter 12, in verse 35, John writes these words. So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. What Jesus wants us to know and to understand is this. We have windows of opportunity where we can experience his light and his presence. And when you walk in the darkness, when you miss the light, you're drifting. You have no clear objective. You end up living in a fog. You look at your past and you get disappointments. You look at your present and you get distressed. You look at your future and you get doubtful and worried. And the fact is, I mean, if you want to sit down and analyze it, there are plenty of reasons that people have for being worried about 2019. But why should we focus on the headlines? Why should we focus on those things that are just going to create darkness when we can focus on Jesus? Listen,
You don't dispel darkness, you just cut on the light. And the darkness leaves. You embrace Jesus. I don't care what dark day you're going through or how much darkness you're experiencing. The one who walks in the darkness doesn't know where he's going. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you were drifting? Didn't know what the future held, where you were headed, that you were in a fog? I don't know if you've ever ridden I-75 coming out of Chattanooga going north to Knoxville. There's a whole stretch of the interstate right there where they have fog warnings. And it can be bad. I've driven it at times when it's proverbial pea soup. I mean, it's thick. You can't see anything. And I was reading the other day about an old fella. He was driving up through that particular stretch of I-75, and it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. So here's what he decided he would do is he would just follow the taillights of the car in front of him until he could get through the fog getting up toward Knoxville, and he'd be okay. And so sure enough, he's riding along following the taillights of this car, and wherever the car turns, he's going, you know, he's just following along. And all of a sudden, boom, he comes to a dead stop. Well, man, he slams on brakes, and they just sit there. He can't understand. What are we doing? And so he gets out of his car and he goes up. Well, the fella in the front car gets out and comes back. And he said, man, what are you, crazy? Stopping right here in the middle of everything? And the guy looks at him and said, what do you mean crazy? I'm in my driveway. Be careful who you're following. Because you may end up, because of the fog, ending up where you don't want to be. You see, Jesus came to illuminate that. In this life, sometimes it's easy to forget where you're going and to be confused, but Jesus came to light up your dark days of doubt. How? Well, John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus told us. He said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus isn't going to illuminate your whole path in front of you. He's just going to illuminate your next step. And that's all you need to know. What's the next step that Jesus wants us to take? What are you worried about? Right now, what are you worried about? Right now, what has you uptight? What is keeping you awake at night? What keeps your stomach churning? You see, you may have to make some major decisions in 2019, and I don't know what they are, and frankly, you don't know what they are either, but I guarantee you that you're going to have some major decisions to make in the upcoming year. So on what basis are you going to make those decisions? Well, I'm just going to do whatever feels good. Well, good luck to that, and please don't eat bad pizza the night before you make your decision. Because you may not feel like making a good decision. And feelings, by the way, are unreliable. Well, okay. If that's not a good way to make decisions, I'll just do what everybody else is doing. Do you know how many times a majority is wrong? That it just doesn't work? That even what they're doing isn't correct? Listen, when you face doubts, there is a reliable source that you can turn to that will give you the right advice that will never steer you in the wrong direction. And that source is the Word of God. Allow on God's Word. I love what Psalm 119 and verse 105 says. It says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've told you before, one of my church members in Arkansas went to the Holy Land and he brought me back this little lantern. It's about that long, has a little receptacle in it. You put oil in it, and then you light it, and it had a little strap on it, and they'd strap it on their big toe. And so what would happen is they would look down, and that would be just enough light to show them the next step. And they would take that step. And then they'd take the next step. And then they'd take the next step. Because your word is a lamp to my feet. You want to live in the light? Live in the Word of God. Let God's Word tell you what to do. Tell you what decisions to make. And He won't say, okay, now, here, Chuck, here's the whole path I have that I want you to walk. You look at it and consider whether or not you want to do it. No, that's walking by sight. He calls us to walk by faith. And by faith, the only step I'm going to know is the next step to take. Because His Word is a lamp to my feet, and that's how my path is illuminated. The Word of God illuminates your dark days of doubt if you will allow Him to keep you from stumbling. I mean, if you're walking toward the edge of a cliff and He's lighting every next step and you're seeing what to do, and then you go, whoa, I don't take that step. Because God's Word showed me not to take that step. And in those dark days, you don't have to see everything illuminated, just the next step. Jesus will guide you. John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us clearly how God's Word relates to all of this. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? Jesus. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, His light. The glory, the light as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. That is the meaning of Christmas. Jesus, the Word, became flesh to dwell among us. And now we have God's Word among us. We have God's Word within us to act as our guide, to lead us. And you ignore it, and you live in darkness. Back in the early 90s, when the Soviet Union broke up, Gorbachev, who twice was selected by Time magazine as Man of the Year, had a powerful quote. He was talking about the darkness of the Soviet Union. Here's what he said. Listen to this. We in the Soviet Union have changed our opinion on some matters, such as Christianity. The moral values of Christianity, as generated and embodied for centuries, can help in the renewal of our country. We were wrong. Wow. Not that Russia's any better today. But you know what? Just the admitting that a culture for 74 years, the communist regime tried to stamp out every spark of spirituality in its people, and they failed. And you know why they failed? You listen to me. Because darkness will never extinguish the light. People get all messed up and all upset about what's going on in America today. May I say to you, it is getting gloriously dark. And the brighter we shine the light, the more contrast there's going to be between us and the culture, and the more people are going to be drawn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not the least bit despondent. Now, I am standing on tiptoes in case Jesus is ready to call me home at any time. But I am excited about the fact that we get to shine the light in this dark world. You see, Jesus is the Word of God with us to guide us through the dark days of doubt. Here's your principle. Jesus is God with you. Emmanuel. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, to guide you through your times of doubt. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God with you, to guide you through your times of doubt. And finally, number four. Christmas is the light of God in response to the dark days of your dark days of disappointment, your dark days of distress, your dark days of doubt, and number four, your dark days of depression. That's kind of when everything seems to cave in on you. When you're depressed and you're thinking, what's the use? You just want to give up. Some of you face some major crises in your life. Those crises have caused you at times to feel the weight of darkness around you. Maybe a divorce, or the death of someone you love deeply. Maybe a defeat. Maybe you got laid off. Maybe you faced a major illness. Maybe you went through a problem in a relationship. In fact, you don't even feel like celebrating the holidays, because the holidays many times only serve to remind you of the pain that you've experienced. And Christmas seems to intensify your pain as you try to deal with what in your mind should have been, but what really is. In Psalm 88 and verse 18, David is having one of those life is tough moments. And he says, you've caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Literally, in the way that reads in the original language, is that there is only darkness everywhere. David says, everywhere I turn, my companion is darkness. Everything I look at, and And maybe you've been there. You wonder, does anybody care? Listen to me. I want you to draw up close and I want you to hear me. Draw up close and listen to what I'm going to say right now. Because if you don't hear anything else, I mean, if you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, you better hear this. Please hear this. God cares. He loves you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what you're experiencing. He cares about the pain that you may have in your life. He cares about the darkness that you may be experiencing. And let me tell you how much He cares. He cares so much, and you matter to Him so much, and your pain matters to Him so much, that He wants to change you so you don't have to stay in the dark anymore. He wants to help you. He doesn't just pat you on the back and say, oh, come on, cheer up, buck up, come on, you can make it. No, no, that's not my God. My God gets down in the muck and the mire of the junk with you. And He says, come on, let me carry you for a while. Let me be there for you. Let me give you the hope of light. He doesn't want to just keep you going. He wants to change you. He wants to use your depression or the darkness that you're experiencing to help you learn some new attitudes, to make some new choices, to have some new approaches. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, the scripture says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. You say, well, that's not rocket science. No, it's not. But we forget it so many times. I mean, we really do. You know what the world, here's what the world teaches. Are you ready? Here's what the world teaches. It's very different and it's antithetical. It's 180 degrees different than what God says. The world teaches intimacy occurs in the darkness. That's not what God says. God says intimacy occurs in the light. Because in the light, there's nothing hidden. In the light, you can be intimate with someone because you see me as I am with nothing hidden. You see me for who I am. You see me warts and all. And you love me anyway. And I see you warts and all. And I love you anyway. Isn't that great? That we can have that kind of love. You don't find that anywhere else in the world. You see, what he's saying is don't drive out the darkness. Just cut on the light and let the light reveal the truth and let the light of God fill your life. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 through 9, just before this verse, he says that we in essence are used to be in the darkness. One time you were darkness, he said, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. You see, the light not only reveals the truth and lets you see everything, warts and all, but the light also produces the truth along with goodness and righteousness in your life. When you allow Jesus to fill your life with His Spirit, He'll produce the best in you. And He'll illuminate your dark days. Last year, 2017, I'd been here for about 3 weeks as your pastor. It was July 16th. I gave the invitation at the end of the service. And I looked back in the corner, way back there. And I asked if anyone had prayed with me to make a surrender of their heart to Jesus Christ. Please raise their hand. And a lone figure back there in the back raised his hand. I went to him after the service. I hadn't been here long enough to know who was a guest and who wasn't. And so I didn't know if he'd been here for a long time. Anyway, he told me his name was Rick. Set up a time to meet with him on Tuesday. Rick and I met on Tuesday. And Rick made a surrender of his heart to Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. The next Sunday, July 23rd, 2017, Rick came forward, made his decision for Jesus public. I did not realize until I talked to him in detail the pain, the darkness that he was dealing with. So I've asked Rick to come and us to share just a word together with you. And Rick Daves, come on down here, Rick. Y'all welcome Rick. You know Rick. Love you, brother. I know this time of the year holds some kind of painful memories for you. Can you just kind of tell us a little bit about the darkness and that you've had to live through and experience?
Yes, sir. December is a tough time. Has been for many years. I've lost several relatives over the years, and my mother passed away December the 6th in 96. I was happened to be down in Hawaii at that time. Came back home, so I luckily had seen her in August when I was back for a meeting, and I was thankful for that. And then in two more days, 3 years ago, December the 18th, 2015, at about 8:05, my wife completed suicide, took her life at home in the bedroom. I was sitting in the living room, and that was the most devastating thing that had ever happened to me before. And I had been around a lot of death and over the years with in the military and other things, but that really, really just devastated me. And for a long while, I was in that dark place, really dark place. And to be truthful about it, there was times that I sat with a loaded gun ahead, and the only thing that stopped me was Lord Jesus Christ. And he kept me from pulling that trigger several times. Because I was that deep in the dark hole that I just didn't see any light. There was no light there. But luckily, and the only good thing about that was that it did bring me back to Jesus.
Amen.
And that was the light that got brighter and brighter in my life, and now shines very brightly.
I remember that Sunday well in July of 2017. I'm sure you remember it too.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about how Jesus pulled you out of the dark days.
Again, I had not been going to church for a long while. And again, talking with the Lord and so forth, said, you need to get back in church. And I went to several churches around the area. Most of the churches around the area, really. And I had decided to come to this one, and I hadn't been to this one. I said, well, let me go down to the Dutch Fork and see how that is. And as soon as I walked in, I met Doug French, and we talked briefly for a few minutes, and of course, he found I was a veteran and so forth, and then he called Pastor Chuck up, and we talked for a little while. Then after that, when I walked in the door and met the people and heard the sermon, I said, this is where I need to be. This is where I'm Amen. Supposed to be.
It's been amazing to see what God's done in Rick's life. I mean, from that Sunday, July 23rd, 2017, I mean, unless providentially hindered, you don't hardly miss church. You're here. And I kid him all the time because he ends up working in the kitchen. I told him he must have pulled a lot of KP duty when he was in the military.
That's true. That's very true.
A lot. Because he does really good at washing dishes down there. But I appreciate your heart. And I love you, brother. And in spite of the darkness that you've been through, I can see the light of Jesus in your eyes. And it's an honor just to call you not only to be your pastor, but to be your friend. I love you.
I love you too, brother. Thank you.
I don't want to embarrass him, but let me share with you a fact about this man. He's a retired master sergeant. When we held our deacon elections this past year, he was one of the top vote getters. Be a deacon. You know, he turned it down. because he said he wasn't spiritually qualified yet. Our chairman deacons will attest to this. He told me that he wants to spend this year studying what the Bible says a deacon ought to be. And then if you choose to select him next year, he'll pray about whether or not God wants him to. That's the difference between darkness and light. And I don't know what you may or may not be going through, but no matter how dark your situation may be, I want you to understand that Jesus is enough to illuminate your darkness. I mean, when Rick told me the story that he was driving down the road and God said, turn into Dutch Fork, and he did, and it happened to be right before the 10:30 service, and he came and gave his heart to Jesus. That tells me Jesus wants to illuminate our dark days. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29 says it well. It tells us, for you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. Don't you ever turn that loose. Here's your principle. Jesus is God with you to change you by producing God's best in you. That's what he wants to do. I mean, if he can meet a man who is on the cusp of absolute despondency because of his wife's suicide in the next room, he can meet you where you are. And he can bring God's peace into your life. He can bring God's best to you. That's the meaning of Christmas. The Lord is your light. I mean, that first Christmas, folks, the star was followed by the wise men. But how many people do you think saw that star? How many thousands of people saw that star in the sky and wondered what it was and did nothing? But the wise men followed the light, and that's what made them wise. Listen to me. It's one thing to know that there's a light in the world, and it's another to follow the light. And the point is this. You get to choose. You choose darkness or you choose light. That's simple. You choose darkness by refusing Jesus. You choose light by responding to Jesus. Do you want to get out of your dark days? Then you must choose to live in the light. It's your choice. You say, well, how do I choose the light? Forget religion. Forget your background. Forget the rules. God didn't bring you here by accident today to say to you, just go through the motions. Christmas. It's supposed to show up at church, right? No. God brought you here to say this to you. There are no accidents. I love you, he says. I care about you. You're not here by accident. You matter to me. I came in human form to relate to you so you could have a relationship with me to light up the dark days of your life. Please, God says, choose the light. And he offers his son. Greatest Christmas verse I know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You want to choose a light? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. God's in this place.